Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues a series entitled, How Can I Know That God Has Forgiven Me? This message is entitled Part 2, The Mystery of the Angels. At the end of today's recording, I'll be telling you how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Well, praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, October 15th, 2006. And today, this is my second installment here. How can I know that God has forgiven me? And the subtitle today is The Mystery of the Angels. Let's stand. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you right now for the privilege of being able to get into the Word. And Father God, that the Word of God is true. That we can not only know it, but live it and apply it in our daily lives. And I thank you, Father God, for people in our church today. I thank you, Father God, for people around the world that will be listening to this message. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, Amen. I'd like you to begin, we're going to start out here, recap a little bit here from last week. So if you can find the book of Job and chapter 38, that's the book of Job, and we want to land in the 38th chapter. As we are getting a lot of response on the internet, we have people in different countries, different continents, and my understanding now is this, that God is using our ministry to reach people far and wide as the apostasy is increasing in the Christian church. These messages that I'm going to be presenting to you are basic doctrine, and eventually, there's going to be very few places where you can get this kind of information unless you have a Bible. So I'm very carefully going to lay down a track that will be available for people for years to come. What do we know about angels? We discussed a little bit last week. We're just going to touch on it again. Let me read my first paragraph here. Before the universe was created, God created spiritual beings, which are known as angels, the holy ones, the stars of heaven, or the sons of God. Again, God does not tell us how or why he did this, and how long ago it happened. The Bible only gives us some limited information. How many angels did God create? In Hebrews, it says that they are innumerable. God could not put a number on them for us. Now, I don't know how much math you've had, but when you get to big numbers, they simply put a 10 and put it to a certain degree, and we're coming up in trillions and zillions, and I mean, the numbers are just absolutely overwhelming. God in His Word simply said this, I cannot give you a number. There is simply a vast number of angels. God informs Job that the angels were in existence when He created the earth. In Job chapter 38, verse number 4, and I'll read this. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if you have understanding. With later measures thereof, if you know, or who has stretched the line upon it. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, who laid a cornerstone thereof. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Before God created the earth and the universe, He created the angels. They do not reproduce. They are not male nor female. They do not age. These angels, we know for sure, are more than 7,000 years old. And the angels are just as strong today as they were at the creation of the world, which was about 7,000 years ago. They do not age. They're not like us. Our bodies get old. They do not. They already have their eternal bodies. The second thing that we covered last week, and I will just very briefly look upon today, is found in the Matthew chapter 25. That's Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we look at verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I read now from my outline. The angels were created with a free will. But if an angel decides to rebel against God and sin as a result, there will be no redemption for them. So once the angels were created, they come in different sizes, they come in different personalities, powers. They had a free will. And that free will was exercised before Adam and Eve were created. If an angel chose not to go with God, he would immediately be judged, and there was no redemption. Let's look upon Lucifer now. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, which give us some glimpses here. I wish that God would have written down a chapter and said, this is how it is. But we don't need to know a lot of details. And he's given us enough for us to have an understanding. Lucifer was an anointed cherub, which is a high-ranking angel with access to the very throne room of God. I want you to catch this now. All angels are not allowed into God's capital. The city of God, the mountain in the north, where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, where they reign out of, is not in the universe. It's outside the universe. The Bible calls it the third heaven. This place, only certain angels have access to. You have to have a very high-ranking position to have access to this place. I want to make a correction, actually, emphasize something from last week. God did not create evil. Let me repeat that. When God created the angels, He created them with a free will, but evil is not created by God. God is light. There's no evil in Him. He cannot create evil or He will not be God. Where does evil come from? Evil was born when Lucifer decided to rebel. This is when evil was created. We got a newborn baby in this church, and he's very cute. He looks great, soft skin, you know, very benign. But 20 years from now, he might be 6 foot something tall, and he will either be good or bad. Remember this now, mass murderers, people that do raping and so on, at one time they were all little cute babies. They were not born ugly. They had a sinful nature. But when a person is growing, the person can make choices to stay with God or to rebel. And when we rebel, evil is birthed. Let's read now from Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and said to him, Thus is the Lord God, you sealed up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day you was created. My personal understanding is this, and I emphasize my personal understanding as you read this, that before Adam and Eve were created, the earth existed. Lucifer was the ruler of this earth. He had access to travel from earth into heaven and leading in worship there. Planet Earth was his home planet. The Garden of Eden was his capital. That's where he ruled from. Verse 14. You are the anointed cherub that covers. And I set you so you worship on the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now he's talking about he's in third heaven here. You were perfect in your ways for the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you. Look at that verse now. God created Lucifer. Perfect. Not evil. But evil was birthed in him when he rebelled. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence. And you have sinned, therefore I would cast this profane out of the mountain of God. That's God's capital. And I will destroy you, covering cherub, for the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast to the ground, I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. Do you notice here now, he's not talking about Adam and Eve and the period after. He's talking about a period prior to Adam and Eve. You have defiled your sanctuaries. There were church buildings here. By the mouth of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic, therefore I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold you. All they that know you, did Adam and Eve knew the devil? No. All they that knew you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more. Let's get some more insight now from Isaiah chapter 14. The book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. It's important we understand who we are, what we're up against and what's going on. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12, we read this. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you cut down to the ground, we did weaken the nations. There were nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sight of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the worlds a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, did open up the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all in lying glory, every one his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch. There's a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword. They go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass taught on the feet. You shall not be joined with them in burial, because you destroyed your land and slain your people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. I'm not going to get into too many details here. We have it in our book number one that eventually will be published. But it is important to understand that there's a knowledge. When you look upon the movies made, Star Wars, Star Trek, you look in science fiction and so they write about all these different things. Yes. Prior to Adam and Eve, there was something, there were civilizations, there are civilizations now out in outer space, angelic, in the spirit world. And there has been a war. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. The book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, if you pick it up, in verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You understand that Revelation chapter 12 consists of several prophecies, and you got to divide them up. If you now go down to verse number 7, you go back to prehistoric time, and there was war in heaven. Mike and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Lucifer had the legal right to travel in space, and trying to put it in perspective for us, he simply had his spaceship, whatever he was traveling in, and his entourage went from solar system to solar system, down to planetary systems, and every angelic civilization had a visit from Lucifer. This was before the war. He came down with his fleet. Must have been majestic. He stepped out very beautiful. The Bible also says he is the master of all music. When God created Lucifer, he created him to be the master musician. The spirit, Lucifer, is music. And we notice that music is the most powerful weapon on this earth today. If you go to a ball game, whatever type it is. They have music. They have dance. And people are yelling and screaming. They work themselves up. It's a worship of the pigskin or whatever they're kicking around. Music will attract, and I try to say that again and again and again, music will attract spirits. Either the Holy Spirit or unholy spirits. And the devil knows that. And this is why you find that every generation, there's been a degrading going down a generation when it comes to music. And the music is more suggestive, more destructive, less harmonious. What we have today, what I call just bang and clang. You know, a lot of rhythm. You get, you hear something, you drive down the street, you hear the bass go in the car. I mean, you do, you can hear it. You can feel it. Let me tell you what's happening. The molecules in the body, as music comes, it is a wavelength. And it will actually make the molecules swing in that fashion. And when you got the voodoo drums, the African drums that were brought in by the Beatles and others, if you look upon young people, you sit in the car, they go like this, I mean, they sway. And the reason I do that is there is a supernatural power in the music coming out, and it simply attracts to their souls, and their body will sway. It's hypnotic. And then the demons come in. As Lucifer stepped out, he did not say this, now, fellow angels, I have decided that we need to retire God. I'm not just trying to put it in the story for you here. I have decided that God is outdated. We need something fresh. I am that person. I'm the new politician. I'm the new kid on the block. I believe we can do things very differently. And if you will join me in my rebellion, when I unseat God, I'm going to give you a fantastic future. You wonder now, if these angels have seen God, how could they be so stupid and fall for this guy? And the answer is deception. Let me tell you something I've noticed over the years. Somebody comes in and they're beat up. They might be sick, marriage problem, whatever it is. And they come to Resurrection Life of Jesus. They say, you know, my life is in shambles and so on. So we take you through deliverance. We help you out and so on. We get to deliver. We get you cleaned up. And you get cleaned up. It is hard to be delivered. It is harder to stay clean. And I noticed this right across the board, that for some reason, after deliverance, there is a steady decline. It just, you know, you don't notice it. You pick up this little habit, this little habit. Before we know it, we're back in front of the TV. Again, we get back, you know, and listen to this ungodly music. We're reading these books we shouldn't read. You know, we talk like this and so on. And I talked to a guy last night. He used to be in his church. And he said, I know I'm in a backsliding condition. I said, well, you're welcome to come. We'd be glad to have you. Got communion tomorrow. He said, I can't take communion. I got too much to repent of. He said, I can't understand how I got this. And then he said, you know, how did Sodom and Gomorrah get so bad? He answered his own question. One day at a time. You see, no one of us or anyone else simply say this, okay, praise God, I speak in tongues, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I love God, but I think now I'm going to start backsliding. No one thinks that way. What happened is this, that you have a little demon coming in, and he plays a song on his violin. And you begin to say, now, what is that sound? And you watch the TV guides as well. You know, this seemed to be a very interesting program. Now, the devil always has something interesting. And I said this, man is as dumb as fish. I mean, fish for 7,000 years have not been able to learn what happens between the bait and the line that goes there. They can't make the connection. So for 7,000 years, the fish is biting and ends up in our frying pans every year, all the time, after we have fish. The devil doesn't have that many programs. He's one, deception. But he's smooth. He is so smooth that unless you are guarded by the Holy Spirit, you will fall for it. Now, you have these car salesmen and salespeople, you know, they're slick. Now, they don't work at the dealership so that they can really help you out. They are there to make money. Understand that? That's the bottom line for a car salesman. I need to make money because you got to pay his mortgage. You got to make a living. The first thing the car salesman would do is he would size you up. What are you driving in? How are you dressed? And that is going to determine his approach. When they sell a new car, you know, they basically sell you the chassis. They sell you a steering wheel and some seats and doors. But then you got all the extra. Right? Well, you know, so the base price is always lower. And that's the price they advertise to get you in. Once they get you in, they say, well, now, you know, you need a stereo, don't you? You want to have a CD player. And you want to have air conditioning. You want to have this. You want a manual shift. You want to have automatic. And, of course, you want to have carpets that match the rest of the car, right? And then they sell you extra wax and all kind of things. I mean, you can buy for $4,000 or $5,000 stuff that they add on to it. That's their profit. If you go to these places, buffet places, you notice there's all the junk food. There's no one guarding that. Vegetables and so on there. Salad bar, no one there. What do they guard? You find the roast beef. The turkey in the ham. There's always a guy standing there. You don't go and slice yourself. Right? Because that's what a prophet is. And they simply slice a little bit. This is okay. Can I have one more? I guess so. But you got to squeeze it out. Satan is a master deceiver. I want to read something to you here that I read this October 10th. And I want to read this thing to show you how deceptive and how much the devil can do with demons. This happened in Erie, Pennsylvania. A woman used her 4-week-old baby as a weapon in a domestic dispute. Swinging the infant through the air and striking a boyfriend with a child, authorities said. The boy was in serious but stable condition Monday at Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, police said. Never, 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 I can never remember anything like this. District Attorney Bradley Falk told the Erie Times News, Satoria Graham, 27, of Erie, was charged with aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, and simple assault. She was held Monday at the Erie County Jail in lieu of $7,500 bail. The infant, whose name was not released, suffered a fractured skull and some bleeding in the brain, authorities said. His head hit Graham's boyfriend, the baby's father, Police Lieutenant Dan Spicely said. Authorities removed four other children from Graham's home and placed them with the Erie County Office of Children and Youth, Falk said. Let me talk to you ladies about that. Most of you have been mothers. When you got a baby, you simply have a love and a protection for that baby. You're just like a mama bear. I mean, that baby, you would give your life to protect that baby. What would make a mother so angry, so beside herself, that she takes a 4-week-old little child and uses a ramrod to fight with? That's how powerful the devil is, to make people do things that later they said, I don't know why I did it. We said it last year. Lady in Texas drowned 5 children. Another one killed 4 children. And they all plead, you know, insanity. And then they says, well, I don't know. I sacrificed it to God. I did this or that. I want you to know something right now. In your personal strength, you cannot resist the devil. I cannot, even if I say I'm going to resist, in my personal strength, I have not the power to resist him. It has to be Christ in me. It has to be the Holy Ghost power. Now let me share that with you. Get this right now. As long as you're walking joined with Jesus Christ, the devil can't do anything. He can just snarl at you and growl at you. He has to separate you from Christ. And once he separates you, he goes for you. How do wolves hunt? They hunt in a pack. When wolves are coming upon, if it is elk or sheep, whatever it is, they don't attack the whole herd. You know what I do? They check out very careful, and they check out to find their weakest sheep, their weakest elk, or whatever it is. And then they split that for the rest of the herd, and then they jump and kill. They never attack the whole flock. They split it, and then go for one. That's how the devil works. This is what I told you, you need a buddy system. When you get tempted, you need to call somebody, talk to somebody. If you're married, you have that opportunity, and simply say, I am severely attacked. I need prayer right now. I'm going stir crazy. Slap me silly and get me straight. Sometimes we get stupid. You understand that? There are times when I had to go and visit some of you. I knew you were out to the tulips. Everybody knew it except you. That's how it is. Everybody knows from your backsliding except the backslider. I'm doing just fine. We need someone to help us. Let's go back now to Revelation 12. I spent some time here, but it's important. And there was war in heaven. Michael's angels fought against the dragon. Dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, but to accuse them before our God day and night. That's in heaven. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Rose, inhabitant of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Let's talk about cancer. Cancer does not develop in 12 hours. Cancer develops for 20 to 25 years. The body constantly has to fight cancer cells from the time you're a little boy or girl and up. When the immune system is strong, the cancer cells are killed off. That's how God built us. But when the immune system begins to get run down, then the body cannot keep up with the cancer cells, which are cells of rebellion. They're rebelling against God's creation order and simply said, we're going to build ourselves a little structure here, and they call them tumors. The immune system goes down. Now, do you feel when a tumor is beginning to build? No. We don't feel anything. It's a work that goes on in secret. And then when it progresses to a certain point, then suddenly now comes the pain and the discomfort, and we run to the doctors, oh, you got cancer. No, you didn't get cancer. Now you had it for 20 years. But it's now beginning to manifest. Behind cancer, there is a spiritual entity. Arthritis, high blood pressure, you take every disease there's a spiritual entity that feeds that disease. And it comes in behind our back. And Satan simply wants to take us out early. Notice what he said in verse number 12 now. It says this, having great wrath. What is he angry about? He lost the war. He got thrown out. He's sentenced to the lake of fire. He's upset. We sang today Martin Luther's great song, Mighty Fortress, that there's no one as cruel as the devil. When the devil sees you, he sees God, because we made the image of God. And he will fight us. When the dragon saw he was cast out into the earth, he persecuted a woman who had brought forth the man child. This is talking about Jesus and Mary. And you have this also in verse 2. It says, as she being with child cried, waiting in birth and pain to be delivered. And verse 4. We read this, the dragon stood before the woman, was ready to be delivered, for devour her child as soon as born. What happened when Jesus was born? King Herod, who was a representative of the devil, when he heard about it, said, "But tell me who the child is, I want to worship." Then when he found out it was in Bethlehem, he couldn't find the details. He said, kill every boy 2 years and down, to make sure that Jesus got killed. If you read the story in the book of Luke, you find out that an angel came to Joseph and Mary and said, take the boy and go down to Egypt and stay there until I call you back. The dragon is attacking a woman, which also represents the church. Have you read from verse 15? And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth. Here again I have wrath with the woman, the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are facing a spiritual world that hates us. Now, most of us have not understood this. And it's simple to us. The devil and his fallen angels are demons. They can read our thoughts. Some of you will argue with me on that. That's fine. But it doesn't change any facts. When you're tempted in your mind and you get a thought shot in, you think about it, and then another thought comes in. If Satan could not read your mind, how can he argue with you in your head? He can read our emotions. And he is simply working on the emotions. Insecurity. Inferiority. Now, I've told you this before. You go to some of these upscale restaurants. They have these young men and women dressed up, you know, very nicely dressed up and so on, you know, come out, you know. And they know this, that if they can treat you in a way that you feel insecure, you're going to spend more money. So they have French name on the menu. You know what it is. But you don't want to be stupid, so you look at the price. Well, that's $45 for that thing. I think I'll take that, you know, and the waiter said, you little idiot, I'm glad you're taking it. It cost us $4 to fix it. We got a $40 profit. Intimidation. They work on our emotions. Sadness. Grief. Pain. Rejection. You name it. It's like you replaced the piano here. The demons simply play all over that keyboard for you. And as they play on that keyboard, you go like this. And I told years ago, I said this, glue the keys. If you would put 1 pound of liquid glue on these keys here, Monday, next week, you could not play that piano. It wouldn't make one noise. And this is what we need to do with our emotions. We need to crucify them. Am I accepting them? I got emotions just like you do. And this is where we got to guard. We got to guard that the devil does not get us stirred up. Let me read my next point. We already read the scripture here. Jesus tells us rebellion was much larger than just refusing to worship God. Lucifer is now following the wage war against God. And this war raged through the universe until rebellion was put down by God's holy angels, Michael, commander-in-chief. We're not given much information about the trial that followed the defeat and capture of Lucifer and his fallen angels. For the words of Jesus, we know the lake of fire was prepared for the devil. We read Matthew 25:41 before. And after the 1,000 years, kingdom, the sentence is going to be executed. Let's turn to Revelation 20:10. That's Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Back to the outline now. During his trial, Lucifer must have challenged God's righteousness. Let's quickly look in Romans 3. That's Romans, the 3rd chapter. And we read it from verse 5. But if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? If God unrighteous who takes vengeance, I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how should God judge the world? If the truth of God has more abounded through my life unto the glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And now, brother, as you be slander reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they all under sin. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. And then we drop down here, a little bit further into this here, this chapter. Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. Notice that now. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of the past, to the forbearance of God. To declare, I say this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and to justify him which believes in Jesus. On my outline, I wrote this. As a result, Lucifer and his fallen angels were confined to the earth, while God proved the entire angelic civilization that he is righteous, that it was Lucifer himself who made the choice to reject God. It was not God's fault, but Lucifer's, that his eternal destiny is in the lake of fire. This is the reason why God created man with a free will, so he could voluntarily choose to accept or reject God. But God also set in motion a plan that would allow man to be forgiven and redeemed when he sinned. John 3:16, as you quickly look upon that, familiar scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Summing up this particular segment now today, I will sum it up like this. When Lucifer was brought to trial, he objected, I don't have a verse for this. This is my conclusion. He simply said this, how can a loving God cast his creature into eternal torment? How many times have you heard that from people? I don't believe in God because, you know, I can't believe in God that he would do such a thing. You ever heard that? All Lucifer's repeat. Now, here is God now. Two-thirds of the angels stayed with the Lord. God is standing accused. All the angels now simply saying, well, what about this God? Is that righteousness to do that? At this point, God could have simply said, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to wipe you all out. Start over. But God didn't do that. Why he didn't? I don't know. He simply said, I will prove my righteousness. I will prove that you, Lucifer, and all the angels, it is not my fault you're going to burn in a lake of fire. It's your fault, your choice. I didn't make you do it. And thus, the creation of man, the restoration of the earth, and putting man on earth. But the difference this time was that God had made a provision for man to repent where the angels cannot. It's important to understand now that God is not like you and I when we go out and say, well, we're going to build this here. Have you got a blueprint now? We just build it as we go. God doesn't do that. God knew before the creation of the angels that Lucifer would make the wrong choice. He knew before that I would also make the wrong choice. And he simply said, I'm going to work it out to my glory. We're going to study this out detail by detail. But I'm going to go down to the summary here and close with this, this section today. The third statement. Satan cannot steal your salvation. Praise God for that. But he can destroy your testimony and steal your eternal rewards in heaven and reduce it to a pauper who is stripped of all glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And I want to read verses 11 through 15. For the foundation can all man laid, and that is labor is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, but the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer less. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The devil knows this. Once you got saved, he lost you. He can't change that. But he can steal your eternal rewards. And that is what he's after with us. Many people accept Christ and do nothing with their lives. They're going to end up poor in heaven. Other people, they love the Lord, they're obedient, and they're laying up treasures in heaven. We don't serve God to be saved. We serve God because we are saved. But let me ask you this question now. I don't think that we got one filthy rich person in this room. We all wage earners, more or less. We have to work for our keep. And you notice that I don't think there's anyone here that is born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You worked hard. I worked hard. We worked hard to get enough money to pay for our places to live, something to drive, food on our table, clothes on our bodies, maybe a little vacation here and there, buying a few things here and there. We worked hard. And then we see those filthy rich people that throws a birthday party, and they spend $500,000 on a birthday party, and they think nothing of it. Or they build these lavish homes and so on. You and I cannot understand that. God is saying this. Lay up your treasures in heaven. There were moth and rust and thieves do not get to them. I'm selfish in this way. When I get to heaven, I don't have to want to do what I have to do on this earth. Open my wallet to see, can I afford to go buy myself a dinner? Or can I buy 3 bananas instead of 2? I don't want to be like that in eternity. I want to come up there with plenty to spend and a mansion to live in. I want to have a good life in heaven. And God wants to give that to us. But we have to build upon that foundation. I told you before, I had some well-meaning saints. 1976, they said, Pastor John, the Antichrist is coming. The currency is going to crash. Don't be stupid. Get out of Social Security. Just don't get in there. They said, we've been with you. We all be together working until Jesus comes. These guys are long gone. Scattered all over the place. Some are dead. Some are over here. Some are backslidden. But I got some Social Security coming. Praise God. I was smart. Yes, I could have used that money then. But I simply said, if Jesus does not come back, the creek won't rise, the money is still stable, I will have something. So I stayed with it. And today, as I thank you, Lord, every month, I get a check. If I would have listened to these other guys, I would have been out on the tubes. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? You want to have a social security in heaven that is nice. Nice check coming in all the time. Would you have a, you don't want to ride, you know, you want all these little two-seaters up there, you know, what, a four-wheels and like a doghouse? I want to have something that flies. That moves around between the galaxies. And I believe that God will give it to us. But let me just read this one more time to you. For the foundation can only be laid, that is laid with Jesus Christ. That's our salvation. That's the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, but the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide to be built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You see that? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet says by fire. Let me read my last paragraph again. Satan cannot steal your salvation. But he can destroy your testimony. And he can steal your eternal rewards in heaven and reduce you to a pauper who is stripped of all glory. Next time you lose your temper, I wish you could see the demon. He's just standing right in front of you like that. Kicking you around and saying, get mad. He says, give me your rewards in heaven. Let's hear it now. One, two, three, cheer. And here we go, cuss. Do you know how to work our emotions? That's the time when you simply say, get out of here, Satan. Just get out. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to worship you. Are you wise enough to understand his truth? Or are you being outsmarted by the devil? I should close, but I want to give you one more illustration to really show you something. When I came to this country with my wife in 1963, my uncle sold me a clunker. It was a friend of his, was an old DeSoto. And he had me to pay $500 for that. And we were so happy. The only problem was this DeSoto was tired. Every weekend my wife and I would try to go out to the mountains in Salt Lake City. We would drive up, and every Monday that DeSoto was back in the shop. Ate all my money. So one day, as I came out of my office, there was a little piece of paper on my windshield, under my windshield wiper, said, we're looking for a car just like yours. Classic. Now, I was a fish. I went home to Ina and said, Ina, look at this. They're willing to give us some good money for that old clunker. Let's go and talk to them. I didn't notice a slick salesman over there. So we drove out just a little bit outside of town. We got in there, and the guy said, oh, yes, I see this flop. We are so glad you're here. We really love your DeSoto. So what would you like instead? Well, they had a little Opel Olympia, which is, you know, a GM car, General Motors. So they were haggling with me, and I said, nah, I said, that's too much money. I said, that's too much money. They had me sign a paper that, you know, we got to sign something before we negotiate. So I said, well, I'm not going to buy it. You just sign it, negotiate it. I mean, we need your keys, so they just sold it to me because I'm mechanically to test it. So I was stupid enough, give them my key, sign the paper. Then I said, no, after 3 hours, I said, no, I'm going to go home. Where are my keys? Oh, the car is gone. I said, what do you mean the car is gone? Well, you signed, you're going to buy a car. The mechanic took it home. It's not here. You got to buy a car. I was not educated like I am today. I began to cry. I was only about 23. And I simply said, oh, okay. So we signed the papers. We drove home crying in that car. About a day later, the brakes went out. We had $1,000 of repairs. And I simply felt abused, deceived, and angry, which made me hate car salesmen from that day on. I said, God gave me a buddy of mine who was in the Gideons. He was a car salesman. But I remember the next time I bought a car, I walked into a car lot and I said this, shut up! Don't say nothing. You're a liar. Let me look if I like it. If not, I'm out. That's what the devil does. Get the picture. He simply says, give me what you have. This is what I want. I'll give you something else. And he will steal your rewards. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I thank and I praise you, Lord, that you preserved me all these years. And Father God, without the King James Bible, Lord, I would be now in La La Land, because in myself I don't have it. I thank you today, Father God, from the bottom of my heart, that you preserved me from all the cults, from all the false teaching over the years we've been exposed to. And you kept me sheltered in your word. And I pray today, Father God, for these men and women here. Those that are listening to me by audio later on. That today, they will understand who they are fighting. They will begin to guard their lives and not give away their anointing. Oh God, make us wise. Make us filled with your knowledge and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there. You might have some questions regarding Christianity and what makes a person a Christian. How do you get right with God? And how do you know that when you die, you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to say will help you in making the most important decision of your life. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now, you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone, including you, has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here's the good news. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you could have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you're a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or even earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and know that you're a sinner, realize that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God, now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." You see, if you call out to God and confess your sins to Him, He will forgive you. Remember, what Jesus has done in the past, He will do in the future. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. What He has done for one person, He will do for another. God doesn't favor anybody over you, nor will He look down upon you because of what you have done in your life. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. If you have been listening to me and feel that God is calling you, repent of your sins and call out to Jesus. You might not ever get another chance. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today. A decision that will affect you for eternity. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. If you realize that you cannot measure up to God's perfect standard, and that you have sin in your life, and that you want your sins to be forgiven, why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner, and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me my sins. I turn from my sins now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thus you are saved not because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It does not have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and your understanding of the Bible. Find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and to support you. Be sure that they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Also, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with someone else. Please contact us and share the good news. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Christ. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled Part 2, The Mystery of the Angels, in the series, How Can I Know That God Has Forgiven Me? It is available on CD or cassette, and when ordering, ask for CD or cassette number RLJ1051 entitled Part 2, The Mystery of the Angels. Again, that is CD or cassette number RLJ1051 entitled Part 2, The Mystery of the Angels. To learn more about Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, we invite you to visit us on the web at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 41001, Sacramento, California, 95841. That's Post Office Box 41001, Sacramento, California, 95841. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. If you live outside the United States, call us at 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.